I'm very happy right now to welcome to our program Ben Beachy, Senior Policy Advisor with the Sierra Club's Responsible Trade Program. Ben, thanks so much for joining us on the program tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So first of all, tell our audience about your work at the Sierra Club's Responsible Trade Program, what you do there.
So Sierra Club, as I think most people are aware, has been around for over 100 years, working for environmental protection, and particularly these days a lot of climate protection. And it was, we didn't really decide to work on trade. Trade decided to get into the issues that we worked on. It was back when the North American Free Trade Agreement that we started to see trade agreements go far beyond what most of us think of as traditional trade, and start put binding rules down that affected our ability to pass policies to protect our environment and to protect the climate, to phase out fossil fuels and embrace a clean energy transition. So we have seen through more than two decades of looking at the status quo trade model that this model really favors polluters and to the detriment of the rest of us, that it includes special rights for fossil fuel corporations, making it much more difficult for us to really tackle climate change as many have committed to doing.
Thanks for that, Ben. We've been discussing the proposed controversial Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement for more than a year now on this program. And now there's been new attention, which is focused on the equally controversial Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, for short. And this, unfortunately, is an alphabet soup that can be quite confusing, so we'll define our terms here. But tell us about the TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the status of negotiations currently between European nations and the U.S.
Yeah, so the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership is really cleaved out of much of the same mold as the highly controversial Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's not as far along in negotiations, but from what we've seen, from what leaks, and there was just a big leak last week, we can see that many of the rules that are now finalized in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which still has to go before our Congress, are exactly what's being negotiated in the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the one with the EU, which the acronym is, it really is alphabet soup. The acronym is TTIP for the EU deal. So TTIP has a lot of the same rules, and in some ways those rules it would pose at least as much danger to U.S. climate policies if they were enshrined in an agreement with the EU as those that are in the TPP. And I can get to some specifics, but in one particular area that we're quite concerned about are these provisions that would grant new rights to fossil fuel corporations that are based in the European Union to challenge our climate protections, not in any court, but in private tribunals that are not accountable to any domestic legal system. And we've seen fossil fuel corporations increasingly using these provisions to go after climate protections and other environmental policies. And this would be really an unprecedented expansion of liability for our climate protections in the history of U.S. trade deals.
Well, I wonder if you'd summarize for us the reasons for rising opposition to the TTIP or TTIP in Europe, which has certainly been fueled by the recent leak by Greenpeace Netherlands of 248 pages of documents from the proposed trade agreement. I guess we can ask you to review what these documents say, which have contributed in large part to many opponents' worst fears about what this trade agreement is all about.
That's right. They really have. I mean, so I looked over all 248 pages, and climate change is not mentioned once in the leaks from last week. It's not the full text, but it's a large portion of the text. While it does not mention climate change, it does include a wide array of rules that would restrict the tools that the U.S. and the EU could use to tackle climate change. As one example, one set of rules that was revealed in the leaks is something that the U.S. and the EU have proposed called regulatory cooperation. And that sounds nice, but there are rules that would undermine our climate and environmental protections if they would be deemed harmful to transatlantic trade or investment. As an example, the U.S. has actually proposed rules in that chapter that would allow corporations, including fossil fuel firms, to petition a government for the, quote, repeal of a regulation on the basis that it has become more burdensome than necessary to achieve its objective given its impact on trade. That is, it may well be that you have a legitimate objective to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, reduce climate pollution, but if a corporation, a fossil fuel corporation, thinks, well, you know, that's all well and good, but it has a large impact on our ability to invest across the Atlantic, or a large ability on our ability to trade fossil fuels across the Atlantic Ocean, then they could petition for the repeal of that regulation using this trade agreement. So that's, you know, that's under the guise of so-called regulatory cooperation. What it really does is this so-called regulatory cooperation gives a new seat at the table for industry, including fossil fuel firms, to try to conform our policymaking process on both sides of the Atlantic to their interests, which again are fundamentally opposed to the goal of moving beyond fossil fuels and embracing a transition to 100% clean energy.
Ben Beachy is our guest tonight here on Counterpoint, Senior Policy Advisor with the Sierra Club's Responsible Trade Program. Ben, in what ways, if any, does the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership conflict with the recently signed Paris Climate Change Agreement that had been in the works for many, many years and was pronounced a big success by world leaders all across the globe?
Yeah. So there are, I think, three main ways I would mention. The one is just the thing I just mentioned. The so-called regulatory cooperation rules would would allow fossil fuel industry to interfere in the process of making the policies that we need to implement the Paris Agreement. They could intervene, including foreign fossil fuel corporations. Fossil fuel firms like BP or Shell that are based in the EU could intervene in our domestic policymaking process here in the United States and say, that regulation you're proposing, you need to calculate the cost it would have for transatlantic trade. And if those costs are too high, they could use that as a basis to say that proposed climate protection should not go forward. That's one. It's called regulatory cooperation. Another, and this is the thing I mentioned at the beginning, it's actually probably the most controversial element of the entire transatlantic trade and investment partnership. It's the reason that TTIP is a dirty word in the European Union right now. It is this provision that empowers foreign firms to sue a government over broad rights that they are given in these trade deals. They can sue over climate, environmental, and other public interest protections. And when they do so, they don't go before a court. They don't go before a judge. They go before a tribunal that sits outside of any domestic legal system, that's not accountable to legal precedent, presided over by lawyers, by private lawyers, many of whom, over 60% of whom are full-time corporate attorneys. And these lawyers have the authority to order the government to pay our tax money to the foreign fossil fuel firm if they deem that new climate protections, such as those that are needed to implement the Paris Agreement, go against the very broad rights that are given to fossil fuel and other firms by TTIP itself. And so that's highly problematic. We've done a look, and there's well over 20,000 firms doing business in the United States right now that would get these broad rights that they don't currently have if the TTIP would go through. And that includes a lot of fossil fuel firms that are currently fracking in about a dozen U.S. states. So if we were to ban fracking, if more states were to do what New York has done and ban fracking, they could launch a suit against the United States government. They're drilling for oil off our shores on more than 9 million acres, these firms that would be empowered under TTIP. So if we were to restrict offshore drilling more, they could sue us. This is not hypothetical. We've seen more and more fossil fuel firms bringing these kinds of cases. Most recently, if you look at just the case that TransCanada announced just the beginning of this year, TransCanada, of course, the corporation that was behind the notorious Keystone XL pipeline, the Obama administration rejected that pipeline, saying in preparation for the Paris Agreement, they needed that the United States needed to show climate leadership and keep fossil fuels in the ground. But just 2 months after that rejection of this dangerous pipeline, the corporation behind the pipeline announced it was going to use the same rules that are in NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, to sue the United States government for $15 billion. That's $100 from every individual U.S. income tax return, and they're demanding that amount of money, saying that their broad right under this trade deal was violated because they did not expect their pipeline to be denied. Again, these are extremely broad rights that they're given. The problem is that TTIP would give these same rights to thousands of new firms, empowering the likes of BP or Shell to follow the lead of TransCanada and sue us over our policies that are to implement the Paris Climate Agreement. So that is a second extremely controversial provision. It's known as investor state dispute settlement, but it's essentially private tribunals where corporations get to enforce special rights that they get. And the third, last thing I'll just mention as a broad way that this goes the opposite direction of the Paris Climate Agreement, is that under the TTIP, according to rules that were leaked just last week, the United States Department of Energy would be required to automatically export liquefied natural gas, which is a fossil fuel with high climate emissions. It would be required to automatically export that gas to the European Union, which is the third largest importer of liquefied natural gas in the world. And what that would do is offer basically a lifeline to this industry that needs to be phased out if we're going to be serious about tackling climate change. So once again, you have Paris going in one direction, saying we need to move beyond fossil fuels if we're going to keep the world to 1.5 degrees warming to avoid disastrous levels of climate change. We need to move beyond fossil fuels. And here in TTIP and also in the TPP, you have rules that would empower corporations to have a seat at the table with regulators when regulations are being made. You have rules that would empower them to sue governments in private, unaccountable tribunals over climate protections. And you have rules that would require the automatic exports of fossil fuels around the world.
That's quite a list of contradictory planks in this particular free trade agreement that, as you say quite clearly, contradict the goals and mechanisms of the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Ben, I've read some articles that talk about irreconcilable differences between the United States and European nations on this proposed free trade treaty, including the issues you just mentioned here, climate change, environmental regulations, genetically modified foods, drug safety testing, among others. And I know in the United Kingdom there's concern that this treaty, if enforced, could jeopardize Britain's National Health Service. I know there's a lot of issues here, and we can't cover them all, but what are some of the, what are some of the issues here you think that could derail this trade agreement? Or do you think U.S.-European negotiators will eventually overcome their differences?
Yeah, it's a good question. If the leaks that we saw last week are any indication, they're nowhere close to overcoming the differences. And even if they would overcome those differences, they're nowhere close to overcoming what has become an extremely broad-based opposition in the EU, and I would say growing opposition here in the United States as more and more people find out about this deal. You know, more people know about the Trans-Pacific Partnership in the United States, but as people find out about the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the polls have shown that there's more opposition. There's not much support here either. In the EU, there's broad-based opposition. And one of the main reasons for that opposition are these provisions that allow corporations to sue governments in private tribunals. And it's not just over climate policies. That's a big part of it, and clearly a big part of the reason why we're concerned. But you mentioned, you know, threats to health. That's a lot of the policies that have been challenged in these private tribunals have been health protections, and so that's part of the reason. Also, you know, food safety and consumer protections are also at issue here. If you look at the leaks from last week, you see that the United States is proposing some things that are in some ways even worse than the EU's proposals. For example, for regulatory cooperation, I mentioned that the United States has proposed language that would allow industries to petition a government to repeal its regulation on the basis that it was unnecessarily burdensome to trade. And, you know, that was bracketed, which means the EU has not accepted that language. Now, the EU also has language that's highly problematic and a threat, but it shows just the sheer number of brackets, which means that, again, the other side has not accepted the language throughout that chapter and throughout many of the chapters that were leaked last week, show that these two sides, the EU and the U.S., are not really close to agreement. And I think fanning the flames of disagreement are the fact that on both sides of the border, particularly in the EU, but again, it's growing in the U.S., you have broad-based opposition. And this gets to one of the fundamental problems with how these deals are negotiated, that they're negotiated in secret behind closed doors. Here in the United States, we have an official advisory system where over 500 individuals are official advisors. They get privileged access to these texts that are kept secret from the rest of us. Almost 9 out of 10 of them, these advisors explicitly represent industry. They represent corporations or industry associations. So if you look, for example, at the Trans-Pacific Partnership, those who sat on the Energy Committee to help negotiate the terms of the deal relating to energy, Halliburton was on there. You had Halliburton is now a pioneer of fracking. You had oil and gas corporations on there. You had Chevron. And you had the National Mining Association, which does coal, represents coal. These are the people who have privileged access to texts that are kept secret from the rest of us and privileged access to our negotiators. You know, it'd be one thing if these trade deals were just actually about trade, about goods moving across borders. But these are trade deals that are writing rules that will have a fundamental impact on our daily lives, on the safety of our food, on the affordability of our medicines, and on the stability of our climate. So why would we allow these things to be negotiated in secret behind closed doors? Unfortunately, it's only because of the leaks that we, like the one that we saw last week, that we know what's in the deal. And every time a leak comes out from TTIP, it just fans the flames of opposition, on both sides of the Atlantic to see what is being negotiated in our name behind closed doors. And as that opposition intensifies, it puts more pressure on the U.S. and the EU to not come to an agreement. And so I think you could say, both because of the content of the leaks and because of the uproar that happened after the leak last week, that they are very far from agreement.
Well, Ben, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to reintroduce you and let our listeners know what they can do at this moment. But Ben Beachy is our guest this evening, Senior Policy Advisor with the Sierra Club's Responsible Trade Program. We're talking about the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, That's different than the thing we've been talking about quite some time here on this program, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement being negotiated between 12 nations, the United States and countries in the Pacific Rim. Ben, what's the timeline for legislative action on TTIP here in the United States and in Europe? And what's the most effective way for citizens in the United States to weigh in with their representative in Congress on their views on TTIP?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the most effective thing to do, if you go to sierraclub.org/trade, it has information on both deals, the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, and information on how you can contact your member of Congress and some talking points if they're useful. And I think the clear thing to say now is, you know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is the most immediate threat. Many of the same rules I was just talking about from the Transatlantic deal are included in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and it's already a done deal. There's no changing it. It's been written, on, again, under the advisement of fossil fuel firms, and it has the same polluter-friendly rules that would expose our climate policies to challenge in private tribunals, that would require the automatic export of fossil fuels. And it's coming to Congress as soon as this year. And we don't know the exact timeline, but it could be as soon as this year. And so it's, imperative at this point to really, say we need a new trade model, one that's climate friendly, one that advances, the goals that everyone agreed to in Paris, that advances the objective of tackling climate change rather than hindering that objective. And the best way we can, the first step we can take to get to that new climate-friendly model of trade is to say no to an expansion of the old polluter-friendly model. And so it's contacting your member of Congress and saying, asking them to vote no on the TPP. And then you can also talk about, in the same breath, you can talk about the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, because as stands now, it's being written from the same old polluter-friendly model. It has the same rules. I would expand the threat that those rules pose to our climate protections here at home and also abroad. So I'd say go to sierraclub.org/trade, contact your member of Congress, tell them no to the TPP, and tell them that we need to stop negotiating the same polluter-friendly model in the transatlantic deal and instead negotiate a new climate-friendly model that actually advances something that all of us see as a defining challenge of our time.
Well, thank you for that, Ben. And just to be clear, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, is still being negotiated between U.S. and European representatives, and therefore it's not going to probably land before Congress or the Senate here in the United States until probably well after the presidential election. Is that kind of the timeline we're talking about?
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And that is accurate. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is the one coming down the pike more quickly, since it's already done deal and could go before Congress at any time. Mm-hmm. The Transatlantic deal, as I mentioned, it's they're due to a lot of opposition. They're far away from sealing a deal there. But I think it's important to let members of Congress know now, before it's too late, that we need a new direction on trade.
All right. Well, best to you, Ben. Thank you for spending time with us and explaining these various trade deals and their ramifications for the climate and a host of other issues. Appreciate you being here. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Ben Beachy, Senior Policy Advisor with the Sierra Club's Responsible Trade Program.